Hello and welcome to the NAREIT REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Walks from Quito. Today I'm speaking with Jim Sullivan, Managing Director and REIT Analyst at BTIG, about some of the issues REITs are facing as the economy reopens. Jim, thanks for joining me today.
Good to be with you, Sarah.
So the reopening of the economy has been a fairly bumpy ride for commercial real estate, especially with the recent reclosures in several states, including California and Florida. How are the various REIT sectors responding?
Well, it's difficult to answer that in this respect. First of all, most of the companies have not put out updated releases that might reflect the most recent activity. They tend to talk about, whether it's collections or opening data. They tend to talk about those with respect to a given month or a given quarter. So we've seen some information, but given that we've had this choppiness recently with states that had previously opened now imposing lockdowns once again, we haven't had an update. And we can imagine that that the impact of the resumption of lockdown practices is going to have a particularly negative impact on certain types of retail, which we can go into if you'd like. But so the data is, or our guidance from companies is very minimal so far. I will say today, for example, this morning one mall REIT, headquartered in Pennsylvania, gave an update on the number of retailers in its centers which are opened, and the traffic levels. And in their case, for example, they indicated that, you know, upwards of 80% plus of the center is reoccupied, and traffic levels in many of those centers are up to and approaching 80% of pre-COVID levels. So that's a pretty encouraging couple of data points. Our concern is that there is this talk about increased levels of infection or rates of infection in states which have, which had previously opened all of their centers and now have closed them. So, you know, think about California, for example, in that respect. That presents enormous problems for apparel retailers whose inventory is very seasonal, and who prior to, you know, reopening a store have to make sure that they have established the protocols that are required, that they have the staff back in place that they need to open, and that they have the right inventory. In one sense, it's easier to understand and enforce the new protocols, and a little bit more challenging perhaps to get the requisite staff in place. But sourcing and ensuring that you have the inventory in place to operate the store efficiently is much more difficult given delivery times, lead times for production, and so forth. And in some cases, of course, or in many cases, the apparel is going to be sourced in a foreign country, and the status of that country's manufacturing practices and capacity also becomes a question. So for retailers of apparel, footwear, accessories, particularly if there's a seasonal element, it's going to be very, very difficult for the retailers and the malls, for example, to be opened on an effective, efficient basis to generate levels of revenue comparable to pre-COVID levels.
And would you say the retail sector is really bearing the brunt of all this uncertainty right now?
In one sense, yes. In one sense, no. And the sense in which it is, for example, is when you consider the types of retail outlets which have suffered perhaps the strictest enforcement in terms of lockdowns. And, here I'm talking about, first of all, enclosed malls as a category, number one. Number two, by retail product type, apparel with the seasonal issues that are faced present some real challenges. And then if you consider the other types of tenancies which have been growing in importance over the last, say, 3 to 5 years, categories like movie theaters, fitness centers, sit-down restaurants, and I call them tablecloth restaurants with liquor licenses, where the average spend per consumer is higher, and the average rent is likely higher as well. Those types of tenants are the ones which have perceived to have the highest kind of complications or challenges in opening safely. And if they can't open, they can't do business, or if they can only open at 50% of capacity, we have to ask what impact that has on rental levels. So it's, first of all, the question, can they open or not, number one, and then number two, if they can open, what kind of rent is really an economic rent level for those retailers under such conditions? Hotels as a category have had, obviously, the most severe impact, because in many cases, virtually the entire portfolios were closed, and they are only now gradually reopening. But again, subsequent to Memorial Day, with rates of infection in the three largest states in the country, California, Texas, and Florida, increasing so dramatically, a number of those hotels just cannot operate economically under those conditions.
So going forward, how do REITs factor this type of uncertainty into their forecasting?
Forecasting and guidance, I guess. The words are different and they mean different things, but as you know, most companies are not really providing any guidance. In terms of their ability to forecast, very, very difficult to forecast when your ability to open, for those sectors that are the most impacted, is really beyond your control. It's out of your control. It's subject to the virus and how each municipality reacts to the virus. So I think that, what we're seeing, what we've seen so far from the companies which are the most prudent, is to, number one, try and conserve cash as much as possible. That means reducing, cutting back on all operating costs that they can. All variable costs obviously get reduced, and, costs which were previously fixed, thought of as fixed, become a little more variable under these circumstances. Also reducing SG&A costs. And then from a cash flow perspective, to the extent they have discretionary capital spending, eliminating most of that, maintaining capital spending only when they are very confident that it's the right thing to do, to enhance the quality of the asset and the ability of the asset to generate operator peak levels post-COVID. And finally, and we've seen this again very specifically in the hotel sector, to a lesser extent in retail, to the extent that their quote-unquote cash burn rate while their assets are unable to open is going to be material and threatens the violation of a covenant on their financing, negotiating with their lenders to get waivers of covenants out through the early part of the middle of 2021. So these are all the actions that companies are having to engage in the most severe cases.
Now, we've seen REITs lend a helping hand to their tenants in the form of rent deferrals and other measures during the last few months. Do you expect more of the same going forward with these sorts of measures?
Well, I'm afraid it's probably going to have to be necessary for the sectors which are the most impacted and in the states where the infection rates are very high. In the case of retail, for example, rent deferral agreements are becoming pretty common. If you think about it this way, if the average remaining lease term is, say, 4 years, and a retail store may have to be shut down, let's say for the sake of argument, 4 or 5 months, and the retailer is unable or unwilling to pay rent for the period that they cannot operate, it's an easier fix, if you will, to take that rent which has not been paid and to spread it over the remainder of the lease. Let's say it's, a 4-year lease. You have a 4-year remainder on the term. You have 48 months in which you can spread that non-payment of rent over the term. In some cases, there may be actual, you know, forgiveness as opposed to forbearance. And, you know, the mall owner or the property owner may decide that they're going to forego the rent for that period of time. But that's kind of, you know, we haven't seen that unless the retailer is actually about to file for Chapter 11 or they file for Chapter 11. In those cases, the property owner and the retailer, on the retailer side, they have to decide whether they want to continue to keep that location. And from the property owner's standpoint, you know, they have to provide, you know, some sense of some level of forgiveness on a go forward basis. And that's all subject to negotiation on a, you know, case by case basis, depending on the strength of the retailer and the demand for the space that the property owner is experiencing otherwise.
And are there any other challenges for REITs that you plan to be watching closely in the months ahead?
Well, I think the major issue, we just talked about deferral, and we are seeing deferral in, besides retail, we're seeing it in residential, we're seeing it in you know, various other types of property types where tenants have a short-term need to get some kind of rent relief. The next issue is going to be whether and to what extent we're going to see defaults in these deferral agreements. So that when REITs report their second quarter, many of them are going to continue to report as quote-unquote good rent, rent that has not been paid but has been deferred. That essentially under GAAP is a straight-line rent, a straight-line component of rent, even though it's not paid in cash. To the extent that that the retailer is going to, if their business is going to suffer when they can reopen to the point where the agreed amount of rent, base rent and deferred rent, is just too high for them to afford given a lower sales level, you know, we're likely to see defaults at that time. So some of these deferral agreements will simply not work. We're also seeing it to some extent in multifamily. You know, there's been a short-term relief provided to tenants and people who have lost their jobs. And what happens when that short-term relief expires? And maybe they do, or maybe they do not have their job. You know, back when the economy hopefully reopens, that's going to become a major issue. So we have to look for any guidance and any signs that the short-term deferral agreements are simply not working, they go into, at that point, bad debt, and so have to be written off. So this is a problem that's going to, you know, we're going to be living with here for a while as we work through these earnings models, and across all sectors, the most important, I would say the most common interpretation of what's going on is tremendous uncertainty. Particularly with the spike in infection rates. So kind of stay tuned. We're learning as we go through this week by week. This is a unprecedented situation, and it's putting tremendous strain on most of the companies we cover.
Okay, Jim, I really appreciate your time today.
Okay, good to talk to you. Good luck.